T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, thanks again to Mark Kotze stopping by. Great guy. Love Mark Kotze. Big fan of his. Wish him the best in his search for a managerial job in the big leagues. Again, on Monday, he did have a preliminary meeting with the San Francisco Giants and Farhan Zaidi and the powers that be with the San Francisco Giants. I can tell you, from spending time with Mark on two different occasions when he was here in San Diego, and then he came back in 2015 as a hitting coach, he is ready to manage. And I think when you take a look at who he's worked under and who he's played for in his big league career, definitely somebody's going to give him that opportunity. And who knows, whether it be San Francisco or Philadelphia, who fired Gabe Kapler today after two seasons, kind of figured that was going that direction. The Phillies this year went 81-81 and finished fourth in the NL East, 16 games back to division champs Atlanta Braves. And then you go back to his first year in 2018, they finished in third at 80-82, so a record of 161-163. So we have seven teams right now looking for managers, and there was a report from our buddy Bob Nightingale that Joe Maddon's first choice remains the Angels, followed by the Padres, but money talks, and the Phillies are certainly the closest to being a championship team. So I think Maddon, and I talked to someone this morning, and they're pretty sure Maddon is coming to the Angels. He lives or has a place in Belmont Shores up there in Orange County, and most people figure on the twilight of his career as a major league manager, he'd like to finish it with the Angels, who he spent 31 years with in a variety of different roles. Here in San Diego, Jace Tingler, still a top candidate. They interviewed Brad Ausmus yesterday. We know they've interviewed Rod Barajas. Buck Showalter's out. I don't know, Braden, we got seven teams looking for a manager right now, and it seems like somebody's going to pull the trigger here pretty quick. I think the New York Mets are going to get Girardi. Girardi did interview with the Chicago Cubs, but I think he's probably headed to the New York Mets. And the Padres, hopefully they don't wait too long, because you don't want to miss out on someone that you feel good about.
Well, one thing on Jace Tingler, right?
Tingler.
I was talking with Eric Nadel, the play-by-play voice of the Texas Rangers, trying to get him on the show potentially next week. And he asked, because he's on vacation in Colorado. He's kind of, you know, doesn't have great cell service, so he's kind of on an island over there, doesn't really know what's going on. But I texted him about potentially coming on the show to talk about Tingler, and he said, did the Padres hire him? And I said, well, not yet, but they're talking to him. And he said, you know what, that would be a great hire, I think, for the San Diego Padres. He's a great guy. He knows how to deal with the young guys, speaks fluent Spanish, so he's very bilingual, which helps out a lot nowadays with Major League Baseball. And Eric Nadel is a huge supporter of Jace there. So if talks come further, we'll have Eric Nadel on the program probably next week.
Well, you know, yesterday when Tony Gwynn Jr. came in and I asked him about Jace Tingler, he goes, oh, I know him. I played ball with him. He was on my team in the Cape Cod League. And he goes, he's a great baseball guy. But again, this is not what we were told or led to believe in the media. The Padres want to hire someone with experience. And, you know, I realize Mark Kotze doesn't have major league managerial experience, but he's been on a major league coaching staff. He's been a bench coach for one of the best managers in baseball. He's a quality control coach of the Oakland Athletics. And Jace Tingler, you know, no offense, but, you know, he's spent just very little time in a major league dugout. And, you know, again, this is a relationship with A.J. Preller. And I realize that A.J., this is his guy. And, you know, he's going to run it by Mr. Seidler, Mr. Fowler. But at the end of the day, from what I hear, he's going to be able to make the choice, and maybe it'll be Jace Tingler. I don't know how the fans would react to that when you've got a lot of other so-called names out there that would like this job. But again, I just hope that they can, you know, get this done before the World Series and get it out there, because right now, every day, you could be losing top-notch candidates here for the Padre job.
Yeah, but I also don't think you should panic either. Do the due diligence that you need to do. Granted, a lot of the due diligence on a guy like Joe Maddon or Joe Girardi, I mean, you know basically what you're going to get out of those guys. So, I mean, you know you're going to fire one of those guys. You're going to get a top-end manager. I think the Padres take this one slow. I think A.J. Preller takes it slow and figures things out of how he wants to. I mean, this is a big hire for him. This needs to be a home run for him. The downside is going to be selling it to, you know, us in the media and us Padre fans, because they flat out said, you know, we want a guy with some experience. And then if you go hire a guy like Tingler, he could be the best manager to ever live.
That's correct.
He could be the best. But the thing is, Padre fans and myself and you, we hear that hire and it's like, we had all these guys available and you're going to hire Jace Tingler? Like, I don't understand. It's going to be a tough sell. The thing that changes everything is winning. I mean, if they hire Jace Tingler and the clubhouse loves him and all of a sudden the Padres rip off 12 wins to start the season, all of a sudden people aren't going to care too much that Jace Tingler's the manager. To me right now, it's about the name. I think fans are going to get gung-ho about the name. And if you don't hire a guy like Showalter, Girardi, or Maddon, I think you're going to have a lot of angry Padre fans, regardless if it's the right fit or not.
I'll tell you, the other guy that may be in play in Philadelphia, aside from Girardi and Maddon right now, I think Mike Socha. Mike Socha is from Pennsylvania, and he's very well thought of back in that part of the country. And I think that Philadelphia team's a lot closer to winning than our San Diego Padres are right now. So that may be a better fit for a veteran manager like Socha.
Well, there's a lot of jobs available that are high regarded jobs, and jobs in big markets and jobs with teams that have a lot of major league talent, not just the minor league talent that the Padres have in the best farm system. Look, the Padres have the best farm system. You look at the teams that are available. Cubs have a really good major league roster. The Mets were in contention for a playoff spot.
They
got a great rotation that any manager would love to have. You have the Phillies, who over the offseason last year, quote, we're going to spend stupid money because they want to win now. They have a loaded major league talent as well. Those are three jobs right there. Then you got the Angels just up the road. They got Mike Trout on their major league team. Shohei Ohtani. I mean, they got a lot of major league guys. Sure, the Padres have Hosmer and Machado, but all those teams, with the exception of probably the Angels, they're all in contention for playoff spots with their major league roster. They're a little bit more enticing of jobs for guys like maybe Girardi, Maddon, Socha, Showalter, guys that, you know, want to win now. Listening to a lot of people in Major League Baseball, though, a lot of these teams are going away from the style of those managers. Everybody's hiring young, analytical guys. So I'm curious to see how this plays out. You're going to go with an old school guy, or are you going in the direction that a lot of major league teams are going with younger hires and more analytical guys as general managers and front offices start making lineups for a lot of these teams now?
Yeah, I don't know if I could manage with somebody bringing my lineup card down. I would probably, you know, tell him where I think he should put that lineup card. Okay, I mean, that's the manager. I mean, the managers need to be able to run the ball club. The thing people don't understand, in front office people don't understand this, that there's nobody that should know the ball club better than the manager. And I'm talking because that manager is with that team at the airport at 3:30 in the morning. They're with them in the hotel. They're with them in the clubhouse. They're with them all the time. And if that manager doesn't know the ball club better than anyone, he shouldn't be the manager of the ball club. And, you know, I totally get the analytics. And, hey, anything that's going to give you an opportunity to win, you'd be dumb not to take advantage of it, okay? You'd be flat-out dumb not to take advantage of it. But I think that stuff is starting to get a little out of control. I think there needs to be a little bit more of a balance to it than we're hearing right now.
Well, I thought it was funny. It's before the movie Moneyball came out, I didn't hear anybody talk about how important on-base percentage was. As media members, fans, whatever, nobody cared about on-base percentage until the movie Moneyball came out. Now, granted, I know scouts and everybody else were probably doing their own thing, but I just think it's funny that that's the main... Batting average doesn't matter anymore. Who cares? But as long as you get on base, and then the OPS, the on-base plus slugging, the WAR stat, I think is obscene. It is ridiculous. I don't understand it, first of all. But I think a lot of people that use the WAR stat also don't fully understand what that stat is, and they just throw it out there. But like you're saying, I think the analytics are getting a little too crazy. I don't mind mixing in analytics with, you know, my managerial, you know, my decisions I make in terms of building a roster and putting together pieces for a winning team. But when it's all analytics, I don't know. It seems like it's not really working too well for a lot of these teams.
I want to remind everyone that 97.3 The Fan wants to invite you to join former Aztec men's basketball coach Steve Fisher, Brian Dutcher, and the SDSU men's basketball team for their annual walk to defeat ALS on October 20th at 8 a.m. at the Mission Bay De Anza Cove. For more information, go to ALSASD.org. Again, that's ALSASD.org. And a great day to be had out there. Help fight ALS, and Coach Fisher and Coach Dutcher will be there. Their staffs will be there. That'll be a fun time. Hey, before I get out to the phones, and again, if you want to dial us up, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We have 2005 World Series Most Valuable Player Jermaine Dye going to join us at 1:35 today. I'm going to get out the calls here in a second. But, Braden, that's the first time you've had an opportunity to meet Mark Kotze. What do you think?
Oh, I like Mark Kotze. Fired up, even more fired up that he is a parent of a Don, which is always great to see the Cathedral Catholic family expand. But, oh, no, he was great. We had one fan comment on the video. Of course, if you want to go back and listen to our Mark Kotze interview, we have it live on Facebook and on Twitter. We have the video with the audio feed. It's a good interview with Coach John Cantera and, of course, Kotze. So this is from John McCander. He said, always been a huge Kotze fan. I remember his last season as a Pod at a game I went to. He played left field all nine innings, and every inning after warmups, he threw a ball to someone in the seats. Some players never acknowledge the fans in the outfield. Thanks to Mark.
Ah, good stuff right there, and that's the kind of guy he is. I'll tell you, the thing about Mark Kotze that people don't know, he's a tough customer. I mean, he doesn't take a lot of crap from anyone. And when he was the Padres hitting coach, man, he had those guys working. He had those guys working, and, boy, they came to him. And when Mark Kotze would talk, those players were like a sponge. I mean, he spent 17 years in the big leagues, and he played for a lot of great guys, and they were like a sponge. And, you know, he's one of the few Padre hitting coaches that hasn't been fired. He got a better job becoming the bench coach of the Oakland Athletics.
I remember when he came back as a Padre in his last year, he would come in. It was a pinch hit roll almost all the time. Almost all the time he'd rip a double into the gap at Petco Park in a pinch hit roll. He was always a clutch hitter. Always a fun player to watch growing up as a kid.
Let's get out to the phones. George in New York City, listening on radio.com. Welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Hey, Coach. I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Well, let me tell you. I stayed up for that game last night, and Clayton Kershaw needs to change his initials from CK to CC. Chokeshaw. That's what he is. Dave Roberts had no business in letting that guy go out for the eighth inning. Now, let me tell you something. This is an elimination game. All hands on deck. I don't care if you hurt the guy's feelings. He pitched one batter. He did well in the seventh. He should have shook his hand, said, you're done for the night. I got Maeda. I got Urias. I got Baez and Kenley. And if he really was afraid, he should have brought Jansen in for two innings and say, you're my closer. You get paid closer money. You're the guy I'm depending on. You're going to finish this. Win or lose, you're my best guy. But no, didn't happen.
Well, if I was going to second guess Dave, it'd be that I would have probably gone a different direction and gone with Maeda to start the eighth inning after he had struck out Eaton to end the seventh. The problem you have there, George, and again, I don't know what the analytics were. I don't know what Dave's...
That's the analytics.
Well, I mean, analytics play a part of it, though, now. George, you know that.
I know that, but it's stupid. You got to go with what you've seen. And Kershaw, the only thing Kershaw has in common with the St. Louis Cardinals, the Washington Nats, the Chicago Cubs, and the New York Mets is everybody's taking him deep in the playoffs.
Well, that's a very good point. I can't argue that. If I was going to second-guess Dave, I would have gone with Maeda to start the eighth inning because Maeda has really pitched well out of the bullpen during the playoffs.
He ruined my dream World Series of Yankees-Dodgers. Now I got to go to Paris next week, and I'm not even going to be watching baseball.
Well, hey, you know what? There's always next year, as they like to say in baseball. Hey, George, good to hear from you. Appreciate your opinion. You know I love you, buddy, and thanks for tuning in on radio.com there in New York.
No problem. Take care.
All right. George, pretty fired up. He wanted that old traditional Yankee-Dodger matchup. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, we're going to get you to the Coach's Corner. We're going to 3 o'clock. Thanks for joining me today right here on 97.3 The Fan. Program here. We try to put on a great presentation day in and day out with Braden Soprenant, Rich Herrera, yours truly. We'll get to more phone calls. We got a great show today. We always have a great show, at least of all I think so. I don't know what everybody else out there thinks, but we try to put on a good show for you each and every day. And again, Mark Kotze in earlier in the studio. We're going to be joined here at 1:35 by Jermaine Dye. Boy, Jermaine Dye, 14-year big league career, over 300 bombs. 2005 MVP of the World Series when the White Sox took down the Houston Astros. He had that big hit in Game 4. He had an RBI single against the closer, Brad Lidge. Remember Brad Lidge? He got a hit off of Brad Lidge to drive in the only run in that ball game in Game 4. They won that game 1-0. If you're out there and like to dive in today and visit with us. Everybody's got an opinion on what happened to the Dodgers last night. If you got an opinion on the Padres, and again, sometime between now and by the time I sign off tomorrow afternoon, I hope to get at least one Aztec phone call about this game on Saturday night against Wyoming. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get to today's Coach's Corner, and it's brought to you by Penske Ford in La Mesa.
Coach Ken Terra breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports
right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3 The Fan.
What's going on, Coach?
Oh, a lot going on. In-studio guest today. We got a great ball player coming up at 1:35, and hopefully we'll be able to shed some light on a few other situations before we turn it over to Gwynn and Chris.
Well, we got some breaking news to start.
This is breaking news from 97.3 The Fan.
Well, that was kind of cool. I haven't played that before. Anyway, San Diego Padres pitcher was kicked and tased by an Arizona homeowner after the player reportedly broke into the house through a dog door. According to ABC 15 in Phoenix, reported pitcher Jacob Nix broke into a home in the early morning hours of October 6th. The homeowner contacted police and told them a man entered his house through a dog door. When the homeowner confronted Nix, he kicked the pitcher once in the face. It was then that another person, identified as Padres minor league pitcher Tom Cosgrove, reached through the dog door to pull Nix out of the home. According to the court records obtained by ABC 15, the homeowner aimed a taser through the dog door and deployed it, hitting Nix in the back. Police spotted Nix and Cosgrove a short distance away and took them into custody. Nix was charged with criminal trespassing. It is unclear what charges Cosgrove faces. The Padres issued the following statement on the incident. We are aware of the alleged incident involving Jacob Nix last Sunday in Arizona. We take this matter seriously and have been in contact with the commissioner's office and local authorities. Due to the ongoing legal proceedings, we will not have any further comment at this time. Nix, who made his major league debut for the Padres during the 2018 season, spent the 2019 season in the minors rehabbing a significant elbow injury he suffered during spring training. The 23-year-old Nix had been pitching in the Arizona Fall League for the Peoria Javelinas. Coach, what's going on in Arizona with guys breaking in through doggy doors?
I don't know. We'll find out more. Maybe, he got confused. He doesn't live in Arizona. Maybe he thought that was the place he was supposed to be staying that night, an apartment. I don't know. But going through a doggy door sounds a little bit strange to me. And by the way, on our breaking news, it's always on 97.3 The Fan. It's powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Again, I don't know if he's living in an apartment or a house over there. You know, maybe he got confused. Maybe he thought he was going into his place and that place had a doggy door. I don't know. We're going to have to wait for more. I'm not going to sit here and be a judge, jury, and executioner today, but kind of an odd story.
I'm not going to speculate either, but that is definitely a strange story indeed. We're going to count that as number one. Let's go to number two.
Number two.
Richard Sherman says he'll apologize to Browns' Baker Mayfield. Cornerback said Wednesday that he'll apologize for wrongly saying the Cleveland Browns quarterback had refused to shake his hand before the coin toss on Monday Night Football. Sherman told NFL.com that the snub had fueled him during San Francisco's 31-3 win over Cleveland. Video obtained by ESPN on Tuesday, however, showed the two shaking hands at midfield. Sherman backtracked Wednesday, saying he would be reaching out to Mayfield to apologize. He definitely deserves an apology. That's my bad on that. I know what I did, Mayfield said. That's the one time the camera has something recording on me that has gone in my favor. Richard Sherman said he may have remembered the moment differently or could have described it more accurately. Sometimes you remember things a little differently than it happened, Sherman said. Obviously, it still motivated me in the same way. Do you think Richard Sherman is just remembering incorrectly from the pregame against the Browns?
Yeah, the picture showed that he remembered incorrectly, to say the least. I saw it. I got blocked a little bit by one of the officials, the picture I saw, but you could see where they were exchanging quick pleasantries.
I just love the quote. That's my bad on that. Let's move on to number three. Oakland Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict's appeal of a season-long suspension for his helmet-to-helmet hit on Indianapolis Colts tight end Jack Doyle has been denied, meaning he will sit out the rest of the 2019 season. The league announced appeals officer Derek Brooks' decision on Wednesday. Brooks was appointed jointly by the NFL and the NFL Players Association. Burfict was ejected in the second quarter of the Raiders' Week 4 31-24 win late last month. He was initially flagged for hitting Doyle in the head across the middle, but after the officials conferred, Burfict was thrown out of the game. The league said that Burfict will not be paid during the suspension, which covers the postseason as well. The league cited his repeated violations of unnecessary roughness rules and handing out the longest suspension ever
million
for an
on-field
incident. According to ESPN stats and information, the suspension will cost Burfict more. You think it's worth a... Are you surprised that Vontaze Burfict's suspension was upheld and not, changed to about a 4 or 6-game suspension?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the guy that suspended was John Runyon, a former offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles who had a great career. Derek Brooks, a Hall of Fame linebacker for Tampa Bay, he was the one that heard the appeal, and he upheld it. I don't know if there's pressure put on him to upheld it, but I think Burfict's getting screwed. I realize he was a repeat offender, but the entire season is ridiculous.
We got one more. We got time for one more. Number four.
Number four.
Art Briles is back in the news out there in Texas.
I saw this one.
Two players on a Texas high school team now coached by Art Briles were ruled ineligible at a district executive committee meeting Tuesday, though the state's governing body for high school sports told the Dallas Morning News on Wednesday that the undefeated team will not be forced to forfeit games as a result. District 7-3A Division I Executive Committee ruled unanimously that Mount Vernon High players Brock Neller and Cameron Neller moved into the district for athletic purposes only. The University Interscholastic League, the UIL, requires athletes who are deemed to have transferred for athletic purposes before the season to sit out a year before participating in varsity athletics. The two players were initially ruled eligible at a district executive committee meeting on September 18th, but Tuesday's ruling overturned their status. Mount Vernon ISD plans to appeal, according to Superintendent Jason McCullough. The district executive committee also ruled that Mount Vernon allowed an assistant coach on field who was not employed by the school. The school was given a public reprimand for that violation. UIL rules state that schools that use ineligible players in varsity contests must forfeit those games. However, McCullough said Tuesday that the school believes it won't forfeit any games since the players were initially ruled eligible to play, a conclusion confirmed by the UIL's decision on Wednesday. Of course, Mount Vernon, they're 5-0 this season under Art Briles, who took over in August after coaching stint in Florence, Italy. Briles has been out of college coaching since he was fired by Baylor in 2016 in the wake of the sexual assault scandal at the school. Are you surprised that Art Briles is back in the news for some interesting off-field issues?
Well, I don't know what goes on there. I mean, Art Briles isn't the guy checking whether or not guys are eligible or ineligible. That's what athletic directors and front offices of the high school are supposed to be. I don't think that's probably an Art Briles issue. I think he's an easy guy, a very easy guy to point a finger at.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
All righty, Braden, good job on that. Again, our Coach's Corner brought to you by Penske Ford in La Mesa. Also, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and give us a call back to win a pair of weekend fest passes to the San Diego International Film Festival. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing, a Las Vegas getaway that includes show tickets and to different Vegas shows like Absinthe at Caesar's Palace, Opium at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, and the brand new Atomic Saloon Show. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Again, we got Bench the Coach coming up here at 1:50 as well. So if you want to dial in and have an opportunity to win Ultrastar movie passes, get in the rotation right now for Bench the Coach at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. So far this week, I'm a perfect 3-0. Is there anyone out there that can beat the coach this week? I don't know. The only way you're going to find out is if you give me a call today. When we come back, we're going to be joined by former big leaguer, former MVP of the World Series in 2005, Jermaine Dye will join us right here on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coach John Quintero with you until 3 o'clock. We're going to get back to more of your phone calls here at the top of the hour. If you'd like to dial me up, again, Bench the Coach coming up as well, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Very excited about having this gentleman on. This guy had a marvelous major league career, 325 long balls, over 1,000 RBIs, in fact, 1,072 to be exact, a two-time All-Star, World Series champion, World Series MVP in 2005. All he did was hit .438 in that World Series. He won a Gold Glove, won a Silver Slugger, and great to have him on. He's a San Diego resident. Jermaine Dye joins us, 97.3 The Fan. Jermaine, thanks so much for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. I had your son in the studio here a couple of weeks ago, Devin, and very happy to have him in. And I saw last Friday night he scooped up a fumble and rumbled 40 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, he's doing good. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for that team. And hopefully they can continue the success and bring home a state title.
Well, let's talk a little bit about baseball. We got 7 managerial jobs open right now in Major League Baseball. And I mentioned you played 14 years in the big leagues. You played for a lot of different managers. I know Ozzie Guillen was your manager in 2005 when you guys won the World Series. But, you know, Jermaine Dye, the player that played 14 years, what would you be looking for in a manager if you were making that decision?
First off, 8, is that a record? 8 managers? 8 managerial opening positions, is that a record?
I think 7 right now. I think there's 7 right now.
Okay. For me, as a player, I was fortunate enough to have some great managers, all managers that played the game. For me as a player, I love what they call a player's manager, which is, you know, a manager that has played the game before. He understands on a daily basis what a player is going through. He knows what a player's thinking. He just knows the struggles of the game and, you know, when to give players days off and just how to manage the clubhouse. That's just because he's played the game before. He's played at the highest level. And I think players look at that person and they actually give them more respect and want to go out there on a daily basis and play for them.
Hey, Jermaine, what was it like playing for Ozzie Guillen? You know, we saw all of his stuff before and after games with the media, but what was he like to play for?
He was a great manager. He got a lot of negative publicity at times because he would say things that most people thought that he shouldn't say, but playing in a big city like Chicago or New York or Boston, Philly, L.A., there's a lot of media in the clubhouse at all times. And, you know, he knew when to do something to draw the attention on him. So, for instance, if we're struggling as a team for a couple weeks, instead of us have the reporters at our locker asking us questions day in and day out, he knew what to say to kind of put the attention on him. And before you know it, we were back on track, playing good again, and everybody forgot about our little losing streak that we went through.
Jermaine Dyer, a guest here on 97.3 The Fan. I take it you still watch the playoffs a little bit when you have time, don't you?
I do.
Give me your thoughts on what you watched last night with the Dodgers and Washington. That was an amazing comeback by the Nationals.
It definitely was an amazing comeback. You know, playoffs, I played in the playoffs a number of years, and it's a totally different animal. I mean, I look at it as another season, and you know, the team that's hot down the stretch usually has that momentum, and they kind of keep it rolling right through the playoffs. And that game last night for Washington to do what they did was unbelievable. I just don't like the fact that, you know, sometimes teams get in the playoffs and they start playing different, coaching different, and doing different things that they didn't do during the season. So, you know, I love Dave Roberts. You know, he's a good friend of mine. But, you know, certain situations, I mean, this game is gone into the analytics and all that stuff. And I just think you got to, you know, he says he went with his gut, but I think you still got to play the game like you would during the season and give your bullpen a chance to come in there, or your closer to come in there and try to shut that ball game down.
You know, it's pretty amazing. He brings in Clayton Kershaw to go against Eaton there to close out the seventh inning. He blew Eaton down pretty easily, and then he ran Kershaw back out there. Here's a guy that's going to more than likely be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and we're all sitting around here today criticizing Dave Roberts for leaving that guy in there. Pretty amazing stuff, and it's pretty amazing that Kershaw gave up two homers on two pitches.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. I mean, you tip your hat to those Washington National hitters. I mean, you know, Clayton Kershaw is, in my opinion, a Hall of Famer. And but I think that, you know, who knows, you know, how he thinks in those situations. I mean, he's a starter, and to be able to come in and in a relieving situation, and something that he hasn't done all year. I mean, to be able to get yourself mentally prepared for that, I mean, it's tough, in my opinion. I know I had days where, you know, if I went in as a DH, I had no idea what to do, how to prepare, how to get ready to be a DH, because I'm so used to running out there on that field every inning, and to just sit around, it's tough, and you know, to get back into the ball game. So, I mean, who knows? We can sit here and criticize, you know, every move that somebody makes, but you know, it's just tough. I mean, he's. I guess the only thing you can kind of say is he was put in that situation before and he didn't get it done. So, should we put him back in that situation again? But I mean, I just tip your hats to the Washington Nationals. I mean, they fought all the way and came back, and then now they're moving on.
We're visiting with Jermaine Dye, a former longtime big leaguer, MVP of the 2005 World Series. You know, you played in the playoffs, and people say, well, it's different in the playoffs for the players. You know, I know sitting at home, you know, I feel the intensity pitch after pitch after pitch. What's it like as a major league player from the regular season into the postseason?
Well, regular season, you know, you get your routine going. You know, the game is played. But once you get into the playoffs, you know, everything is magnified. You know, you got a ton of people around the batting cages doing batting practice. The banners go up on the walls on the fences, and you feel the intensity. The fans are in on every pitch. It's definitely a different atmosphere out there, and it definitely weeds out the players that can look at it as just another game, or they go in a hole and you know, become nervous and not be able to perform. But it's definitely a great feeling. That's what we play the game for, is to get a chance to get to the playoffs and hopefully win a World Series. And the experience definitely plays a part in it. You know, if you've been there before a number of years, you're gonna know how to deal with that adrenaline and know how to calm yourself down and just look at it as another game that you're going out there trying to help your team win. And just, you know, the little things matter. I mean, the, you know, moving guys over, bunting if we have to, you know, sacrifice flies, taking the extra base if we need to. That plays a big part. And, you know, you can tell in the playoffs now, you know, a missed ball in the outfield or a double play ball that an infielder boots really puts pressure on that team and giving the other team a chance to win ball games. And it's been going on this playoffs.
We're visiting with Jermaine Dye. You hit over 300 home runs in the big leagues. How much did hitting coaches talk to you about a launch angle?
I never talked about a launch angle. My whole thing was actually trying to hit the ball, hit line drives and gap to gap, and hopefully those line drives would go out of the ballpark. But, you know, I think if I would have, they would have talked about launch angle, I think I would have, you know, hitting 230 or 240 with, you know, a lot of home runs, I think I would be on suicide watch because of the average.
Hey, Jermaine, you know, you bring up a great point. And, you know, I watch, you know, baseball games morning, noon, or night until the last game goes off, and then I go to bed. And, you know, I love baseball and always have. And, you know, I know when I was growing up playing and when I was coaching in high school and college, you know, the strikeout, I mean, the manager wasn't happy when you're striking out. And it's weird how baseball now, it comes down to either a homer, a walk, or a strikeout. And managers, you know, I don't know if they're okay with it, but they certainly don't get on the players about hitting the ball to the right side to get that guy over to third in less than two outs. When you were playing, managers couldn't have been too happy if guys were striking out at a record pace like we've seen this year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's definitely a different era right now. Definitely when I played, the striking out was a no-no. I mean, they'd rather you put the ball in play somewhere and make the defense work, give yourself a chance. Definitely the teams that I've played on and had success, and we've had good teams, have definitely been the unselfish we definitely had unselfish players that were willing to, no matter if you're in the middle of the lineup, move a guy over, try to do the little things to help the team win. But now, you know, it's different. I sit back and look and think, and if I was able to not worry about striking out, maybe I would have hit more home runs. You know, you never know, but it's definitely different. I mean, the analytics that goes on, it still doesn't, to me, test what a player's feeling inside. What happened the night before at home? Did he get in an argument with his wife or girlfriend? Is he playing through an injury? It's definitely, sometimes you got to kind of just go with your gut sometimes and not look at the stats so much and know the individual.
All right, I got one last question for you. And again, you're doing all right. You hit 325 homers, 1,072 RBIs. Not too many guys walking the streets with those kind of numbers in their big league career. Take me back to 2005, game four, no score in the game. You're stepping into the box against Brad Lidge. What were you thinking?
Okay, so I'll take you back. I was in the dugout, and I know I'm coming up that inning. And Brad Lidge is pitching, and I'm talking to my hitting coach, going over, you know, what he's going to try to do to me. And I just remember just breaking down film on him, and I kind of came up with a game plan already. And my hitting coach goes to me, he just tells me to get on the fastball. I said, I'm going to look for the slider. He goes, you're crazy if you do that. And I went up in the on-deck circle, went up to bat, and man on third base. And he threw a fastball to me, and I took it and got into the count and stayed on the slider, got a base hit up the middle, got to first base, and looked back at the hitting coach, and all he did could do was give me praises. So that's, you know, just having a game plan and the adrenaline going through my body, just calming myself down and just sticking with my game plan. That's the most important. I didn't panic. Even though he throws 98, 100 miles per hour, I still stuck with a game plan and was able to get it done.
Great stuff. Hey, Jermaine, thanks so much for the time. And hopefully we're going to be up there next week doing the Charity Bowl between St. Augustine Cathedral. Hopefully I'll get an opportunity to meet you in person. But thanks so much for the time today.
Most definitely. Thanks for having me and looking forward to meeting you in person.
Be well. Jermaine Dye, former longtime big leaguer, again, the 2005 most valuable player in the World Series when Chicago took down the Houston Astros. Well, right now, let's get to today's Bench the Coach.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, you know what, Braden? We're not going to have enough time right now to get to bench the coach. We're running close to the top of the hour. So what we'll do, we'll do that in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get to the bench the coach. But we will be giving away, once again, our Grand Slam giveaway here in a couple of minutes. But, hey, Jermaine Dye was great. You know, I've seen him last year. We did a game up at Cathedral Catholic. I was standing out actually talking to your mother, I believe. And Jermaine Dye come walking by. I knew when he played he was a big, strong guy, but in person, he is a big, strong guy.
He is a big, strong guy, and you could tell that he played some type of professional sport, but just interact. You could go up to him, have a conversation, and just by talking to him, you would have no idea that he played because that he doesn't talk about it very much. Only when you bring it up. He talks about you as the person. He's a really good guy, and he asks you how you're doing, how's your family doing, and stuff about your life. More than talking about how he won a World Series MVP. Think about that. You see him walking by, you could talk to him for an entire conversation and have no idea that he won a World Series MVP, which is pretty cool. He's a really cool guy. I enjoyed coaching his son Devin over at Cathedral and enjoyed being with around Jermaine Dye and a lot of the other athletes that are at that school at Cathedral as well. But with Jermaine, I got to interview him before, and he's told me that story about facing Brad Lidge, and it's still cool to me, breaking down with players big moments in their major league careers. And I'm sure we'll hear from Howie Kendrick down the line about that grand slam he hit when he's telling everybody after he's retired. But that story about Lidge, it's funny, the arguments that he has with his hitting coach and the everyday human aspect of players. It's really fascinating. It's pretty cool.
It really is. And again we'll look forward to meeting Jermaine, hopefully next Friday night when we're out there doing the Charity Bowl. That would be one heck of a football game. Hey, want to get to this hour's Grand Slam giveaway. Our key word is shuffle. Text shuffle to 72881 for your chance to win your share of $160,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. Now, when we come back in hour number two, we're going to get into the NFL a little bit. We got a big Thursday night game. You'll hear right here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm kind of anxious tonight in this game to see how Daniel Jones goes against Bill Belichick and the Patriots defense. I mean, coming into this ball game, the Giants right now at 2-3, Patriots 5-0. They're a 17-point favorite, the Patriots, in this ball game. They have them at Gillette Stadium. Belichick, we'll hear his comments about Daniel Jones. But the thing about Belichick, his defense from week to week is never the same. He changes it up every week. He does something a little bit different. What will he have in store for this young rookie? Of course, we'll have a Gwynn and Chris program today. It'll be short, though, because we do carry Thursday night football here on 97.3 The Fan. The kickoff is scheduled at 5:20. And again, following the game tonight, Braden and I will be back in. We got a big night ahead of us. We'll be in with the high school football show from 9 to 11. When we come back, we'll get out to your phone calls as well, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks for joining me Monday through Friday, 12 to 3 on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.